The reading is from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were like snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. An angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he laid. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Brilliant. Thank you, Simon. I'm just going to pray. Risen Jesus, we thank you that in the truth of today, we find life and hope and joy. We thank you for the gift of your word and the gift of your spirit, and we pray that both will be united together to encourage us, to challenge us, and even to change us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. I wonder how you feel when someone makes and breaks a promise to you. That kind of sense of disappointment, of sadness, of betrayal, that each time a promise is broken, trust has to be rebuilt. It takes a serious hit and has to be re-earned again. I wonder how you are at keeping promises. Are you the kind of person who keeps promises, makes promises all the time and struggles to keep them? Keeping promises is a very hard thing to do. For example, you might say, "I promise I will be on time to lunch," but the traffic may think otherwise and you may not be able to keep that promise. Often we find in our political atmospheres that people make promises, and whether they stick to them or not remains often to be seen. And trust can be broken when promises are broken. The reason I'm starting by talking about promises is because as I was sitting reading Matthew's account of the resurrection this week, which does have some very unique aspects to it, to some of the other accounts that we have in the Gospels, there was one phrase in particular that really caught my eye and really leapt out at me as I was just reading through this passage. We're using Matthew's account because we're spending the whole year looking at Matthew this year. And Matthew was writing to a largely Jewish audience and wanted them to understand the significance of who Jesus is and what it was that he came to do. Matthew was very clear about making details known to the readers, that he wanted every detail to be kind of captured and measured in some ways, hence why his gospel probably one of the longest. And in Matthew's account, we read that the stone was rolled away, not by God himself, but by one of his angels, one of his messengers. Janet said on the way in that she read a beautiful phrase this morning. I think this is incredible. The angel did not roll the stone away so that Jesus could rise. The angel rolled the stone away so we could know that Jesus had risen. I love that. I think it's so powerful. And so the angel, this angel of the Lord, has rolled the stone away. Now, we know through most of the accounts how big this stone would have been and what kind of strength and might it would have taken to move it. I don't know how you picture angels in your mind's eye, whether you have these nice creatures with wings and harps. That's not a biblical picture of angels at all. In fact, most people who claim to have seen and witnessed angels, particularly the kind of chief angels of Michael or Gabriel, report them as being about 8-9 feet high, really muscular, really tall, really massive beings. And so this angel has moved the stone away And then I love the scene of him just casually sitting on top of the stone, waiting for the disciples or the women to arrive. He is striking in his appearance. He is radiant with glory, white as snow, light shining from him. And so understandably, the response of the women when they see him is that sense of holy fear, which we see time and time again in Scripture. And so the angel says the words that we see time and time again in Scripture as well: "Do not be afraid." Then the angel declares to these women that he knows they're there to look for Jesus. He knows why they've come to the tomb. He knows what's going on in their hearts and minds. And he has the incredible privilege of being the first person to say, "He is risen." What an amazing gift that is to that angel, to be the first person on earth to say, "He is risen." But it's what he says next that really caught my attention this week. It's here that we see this phrase: "He is not here, for he has risen as he said." As he said he would do. You see, Jesus had been promising to his disciples time and time again that this day would come, that this resurrection was a part of his story, that this resurrection was a part of what he'd come to do. In Matthew 16, 21, Jesus tells his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer, be killed, and raised on the third day. In chapter 17, Jesus again predicts his death and resurrection, stating he will be delivered and be killed, but will rise on the third day. In Matthew 20, Jesus explains to the 12 that he will be condemned, killed, and raised on the third day. In Mark, Jesus teaches his disciples that he will be delivered into the hands of men, killed, and rise on the third day. Jesus foretells his suffering in chapter 10 of Mark, his death and resurrection, emphasizing that the third day he will rise again. In Luke, Jesus takes the 12 disciples aside and tells them that he will be delivered, killed, and see, rise on the third day. Jesus refers to his body as a temple, stating it will be destroyed and raised again in just 3 days. Time and time again, Jesus promised to his disciples that this day would come. Not all of them understood it. Ironically, the Roman Empire totally understood it. In the scene just before this, you see the Roman Empire saying, "We need to put some guards at the tomb because they're all saying he's going to rise again from the dead. We need to make sure that they don't start spreading rumors like that because it will really threaten our power and authority if something like that happens, if they were to lie about this or do anything about this." So they put these guards here. And what's the guards' response to the angel? They are frozen in fear, in trembling, to the point at which they cannot move. And then when they do eventually shake out of that after Jesus has risen and Mary and her fellow friends have moved away from the tomb, they run to their leaders and they say, "Uh-oh, it's happened. What are we going to do?" And they basically say, "Well, we're going to have to lie and make something up and say that someone took his body." But they would have heard those words of the angel: "He is not here, for he has risen as he said." Jesus promised he would rise, and he rose. If you believe in the person of Jesus, if you believe in the words of Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that Jesus is someone who told the truth, then it's not much of a stretch to then logically believe in the resurrection, because he promised it would happen, and it happened. The only other alternative is to say that this Jesus is a liar, but that's not possible for God. He cannot do that. He can only speak truth. The promise keeper rose as he said he would. And so the angel calls them to go and tell the other disciples, and does so with another promise: go and they will see him. They too will see him. And so they go to Galilee, and indeed they do see him, risen and alive and stood in front of them. He has promised and he has delivered on his promise. And in so doing, he has conquered sin and conquered death and become the ultimate promise fulfillment of the truth. That we need a savior, and Jesus is that savior. The promise that God made that he would deliver his people, he has done in the person of Jesus Christ. Our promise-making Savior is risen, risen like he said. And our faith, the Christian faith, hangs on this truth that Jesus is alive. The disciples gave their lives defending the truth that Jesus is alive. Brothers and sisters in Christ around the world today are suffering and standing up for the fact that they believe that Jesus is alive. It is the most important truth we have. We hold on to it. It is described as the linchpin of the Christian faith. And I discovered that a linchpin is a fastener that prevents a wheel or other part from sliding off its axle. The linchpin is what holds our faith together. And it comes down to, what do you believe about this story? Do you believe that Jesus is alive? Because if he isn't, it changes nothing. If he is, it changes everything. We can't believe in the resurrection of Jesus and just go about our normal lives as if nothing has happened. As we see in the response of the women, when they see him as risen, they fall at their feet, or fall at his feet, and they worship him. Their lives are surrendered to him. It all comes down to this. Regardless of what you think about church, regardless of what you think about other Christians, regardless of what you think about the world, regardless of what you think about suffering, regardless of what you think about the questions about God that you've never had answered, it all comes down to this. Do you believe he's alive? Do you believe he rose from the dead? Because if you did, it changes everything, and our lives testify to the fact that it changes everything. That Jesus didn't come just to make bad people better, though he did do that. He came to make dead people alive. He came to give us new life, and we can have that new life by recognizing the events and the consequences, the implications of this Easter weekend. That on Good Friday, he died on a cross to take a punishment we deserve for the wrong things we do. So that through that sacrifice, we can find forgiveness. But he didn't end it there. He promised he would raise again. And 3 days later, he did raise again. So that in him and through him, death does not have the final say. As we've just sung, death is defeated and love has won. And it all comes down to this truth. Do we believe that Jesus is alive? Because if we do, it changes everything, even our own lives. And here's a remarkable truth. That same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in those who believe. The very same. Not a junior version, not a different version. The very same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that can live in those who believe. And so I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you move amongst us this morning, and would you show us the risen Jesus? And as we see you as risen, fulfilling the promises that you made,
We thank you that in a world of uncertainty, this is certain for those who believe that Jesus is alive. We thank you that it gives us a certain hope, a certain peace, a certain future, and a certain life. A life where we live not feeling or believing that we're better than anyone else, but hopefully that we're better than we were. But also that we can have life in all its fullness, because you have conquered death. And so I want to invite you this morning. If I can invite everybody to stand, that would be lovely. Just, if you're able to. And we're going to play another round of Copy Carl. And I'm hoping that in this round, no one sits down. Do you believe Jesus is alive? Yes or no? 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
My answer is yes. So we're all standing. It's good. Jesus, thank you that you are risen and alive and amongst us now. And if you're here this morning and you want to respond to him to the first time, it's as simple as saying, Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose for me. I choose today to turn from my own life, to walk in the life that you give me. Holy Spirit, help me in this life. Amen.